This morning on WCHL, former J-School professor and journalism leader Chuck Stone died this weekend. We'll remember his many achievements. What was all the smoke we smelled last week? And will it continue?
These are planned in the summer for the fall and winter burn season.
And Orange County's early voting sites are all finalized now. These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill Harbor traffic and weather together. In WCHL Championship Sports, UNC Baseball took another series victory over the weekend. And
now who do we root for in the national championship game?
That's this morning in our Chansky Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
7:07 at WCHL, 51 degrees in Chapel Hill. Showers pretty much all day. We're getting some light rain right now and have for much of the overnight period. Our high today about 55 degrees. Again, 100% chance of rain today. A former professor of journalism at UNC and the co-founder of the National Association of Black Journalists, Charles Sumner Chuck Stone Jr., died Sunday at the age of 89. Stone was an influential writer for some of the leading African-American publications, like the Washington Afro-American, the Chicago Daily Defender, and the New York Age. At UNC, Stone taught censorship and magazine writing from 1991 until his retirement in 2004. He first began his teaching career while he was at the Daily News and taught at Bryn Mawr College's Graduate School of Social Work and Social Research. He taught at Harvard University and the John F. Kennedy School of Government in the early 80s. He also taught journalism at the University of Delaware in the mid-80s. Former UNC Chancellor Holden Thorpe tweeted, "Thank you, Chuck Stone, for so much. What an unbelievable source of inspiration and encouragement for us all." Stone is survived by his children, Krishna Stone, Allegra Stone, and Charles St. Stone III, grandchild Parade Stone, and sisters Madeline Seymour and Irene Gordy. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to the Chuck Stone Citizen of the World Fund at the UNC School of Journalism and Mass Communication Foundation of North Carolina. University of North Carolina Journalism School Professor Charlie Tuggle will speak to us at the bottom of the hour about the contributions of Chuck Stone. And in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll be speaking with former UNC J-School Professor Phil Meyer. If you happen to smell smoke outside over the next few weeks and you're pretty sure it's not coming from your immediate area, then there's a chance it may be coming from a controlled burn by forest managers. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more.
On Twitter this past Thursday, a lot of folks expressed concern about a layer of smoke hanging over a large portion of Chapel Hill that afternoon. As it turns out, the North Carolina Wildlife Resources Commission conducted a controlled burn in 218 acres of Jordan Game Lands that day. Here's Wildlife Forest Manager Brandon Miner. He works at District 5, an 11-county district that includes Orange, Durham, Alamance, and Chatham.
The purpose was to improve the wildlife habitat within a thin pine stand.
Miner added that reducing the probability of a wildfire was also a goal of the burn. He says that an unforeseen wind shift was likely the reason so many people all over Chapel Hill may have seen and smelled smoke on Thursday.
We had a little shower of rain that actually come through when we was burning it. It kind of set the smoke down and held it tight to the ground, and it didn't let it go up.
According to Miner, the result was that low cloud of smoke.
The predicted wind was actually southwest for that day, the transport wind, and that would have taken it above everything, but that rain was really what kind of hurt us.
Miner says the burn for Jordan Game Lands was planned well in advance.
We do annual burn prescriptions on each game lands that we manage, and these are planned in the summer for the fall and winter burn season.
But precise scheduling is always at the mercy of Mother Nature.
The wet winter we've had so far has prevented us from doing a bunch of controlled burns or prescribed burns like we wanted to. And so this time of year is when we get the best control on our hardwood.
He says this is also when controlled burning produces the best wildlife habitat results. According to Miner, controlled burning by the Wildlife Resources Commission could continue through the first week of May or whenever all the sweet gums and underbrush start to get really green. He says that makes it harder for a fire to carry through a timber stand. Plus, humidity would start to lower the intensity of a burn. Miner says that all questions about controlled burning by the Wildlife Resources Commission can be directed to the Raleigh office at 919-707-0010. For more information, you can find this story at chapelborough.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
The State Board of Elections has officially approved Orange County's early voting sites, including one close to but not on the UNC campus. Concerns about accessibility led members of the Orange County Board of Elections to take Ram's Head Dining Hall off the list of possible sites this year. Board members examined other options for on-campus voting, but ultimately settled on the North Carolina Hillel Center on West Cameron Avenue. While that's close to UNC, some worry its off-campus location will not appeal to student voters. A plan to use Cobb Residence Hall as an additional on-campus voting site failed to gain traction with the majority of the local board members. The sites approved for early voting are the Hillel Center and the Seymour Senior Center in Chapel Hill, the Board of Elections Office and the Master's Garden Preschool in Hillsboro, and Carborough Town Hall. Recent changes to state law mean early voting will only run for 9 days this year, and registration during early voting is no longer allowed. The deadline to register to vote is this Friday. You can download registration forms from the Board of Elections website or pick them up at Carborough Town Hall, Chapel Hill Town Hall, and public libraries all over the county. For a full list of locations offering voter registration forms, you can visit our website, chapelboro.com. It's been more than a month since a pipe burst at the bottom of a pond in Eden, North Carolina, causing thousands of tons of coal ash to spill into the Dan River. The spill has had a profound effect on residents in the area, and not just the human population. One scientist from Appalachian State University recently made his way to the river to look at some of the area's smallest inhabitants. Abigail Brewer of Carolina Connection went with him.
Looks like you could come in off the bank and maybe sample for inverts right there.
There's a riffle right there.
Yeah, I saw that.
With neoprene waders on, biologist Shay Tuberty steps from the banks of the Dan River into its frigid, flowing waters. He's hoping to look beneath the water's surface and search the benthic, a riverbed community, for signs of life. This isn't the first time Tuberty has done this. 5 years ago, he was on the site of a much bigger and more toxic coal ash spill in Tennessee.
When I heard about the number of tons, you know, we were dealing with 500,000 tons in the TVA spill. It was still difficult to determine, you know, negative impacts on the fish community. I thought maybe because I knew there would be a better benthic community here than we had in the at the TVA site, that it would be possible to see immediate impacts.
The day Tuberty heard that about 39,000 tons of coal ash, that's about 78 million pounds, had spilled in North Carolina, he was itching to learn of its impacts. Coal ash contains elements such as arsenic, selenium, and mercury that can disrupt an entire ecosystem. Many insects and worms call the mucky riverbed home. Tuberty samples these at two places on the river, one downstream of the spill and one closer to the point of the spill.
All right, ready to do another one, Matt?
Yeah, that's good.
A couple different things by being patient here. But...
One of Tuberty's students stands a couple feet from a kick seam, a net held between two poles, and kicks up the muck. In this process, a number of insects are trapped in the net.
It's a free-living caddisfly. It might have been a phylloptomidae.
These samples will be taken back to the lab to test for toxicity. NC State biologist David Buckwalter says that after a coal ash spill, toxic elements are released relatively quickly.
Well, it will probably take several years for all of the material to leach out, but by the end of that period of time, it would be leaching out at a very slow rate. So I would assume that most of the action will have occurred, you know, in the more immediate, you know, post-spill time frame, you know.
In the downstream section of the Dan River, there isn't any clear sign of trouble. Coal isn't present on the banks, and it's not found in the muck when the insect samples are collected. That doesn't mean that the Dan River isn't in trouble. It may be 6 months to a year before we know the impacts on the organisms living in the river. A major cause of concern for scientists are the elements selenium and arsenic.
Selenium is a little bit unique in that it gets picked up at the base of food webs by bacteria and algae and diatoms and such. And those organisms at the base of aquatic food webs take that selenium.
In addition to his jar of insects, Tuberty is taking a species of Asian clam that was introduced into the river years ago.
They're constantly bringing in the water right at the water-sediment interface. And so they're one of the most endangered organism based on their interactions with the metals that become part of the sediment.
While efforts to clean up the coal ash spill continue, the health of an entire ecosystem lays in the balance. Buckwalter notes that situations like these could prevent the coal industry from storing wet coal in ponds in the future. In Eden, I'm Abigail Brewer.
Abigail Brewer is a reporter with Carolina Connection, the radio news magazine of the UNC School of Journalism and Mass Communication. It airs every Saturday morning at 8:30 right here on WCHL during the school year. WCHL News Time, 7:16. Time now for traffic and weather together on WCHL. This traffic report is brought to you by Fifth Season Gardening in Carborough. Everything you need to grow, brew, and make your own, including a new nursery stocked with fruit trees, cold hardy tropicals, and many other unique plants you're not going to find elsewhere in our area. Fifth Season, not your garden variety gardening store. Now with your morning traffic on WCHL, here is Rand Northam.
Well, thank you, Ron. A reminder that the roads are wet this morning, so use some extra caution and give yourself a little extra time to travel as well. People might be slowing down a little bit more today to avoid those puddles and avoid any trouble there might be. Right now, the roadways are moving smoothly. I-40, NC-54, 15501, as well as MLK, Estes Drive, Franklin Street, and the Durham Freeway, not reporting any accidents or delays. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
Well, it's an awfully nice tweet that Holden Thorpe sent out upon learning of the death of Chuck Stone over the weekend.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, what a guy he was. Did you have a chance to know him at all?
I sure didn't, but I'm very interested to hear and excited to hear from Charlie Tuggle this morning.
Mm-hmm.
He's a professor at the J School, as well as Professor Emeritus Phil Meyer this morning as well, and hear what they knew of Chuck Stone and all his time at UNC, as well as what he's done nationally for many good causes, and one of the best in our field, for sure.
I mean, he made so many contributions to the world of journalism, but mm-hmm. You know what I remember most about him is the way the man dressed. You could see him anywhere, just incredibly well dressed, and would have on some kind of a flashy hat or a flashy tie.
Yeah,
just,
that's right.
You know, always stood out in the crowd. What a guy. So, anyway, thank you very much.
Sure, thank you.
We'll talk to you in just a little while here.
All right.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather is brought to you this morning by Dickie's Barbecue Pit in Durham, next to New Hope Commons. Eat in, call ahead for takeout, order in advance, or arrange for catering at dickies.com. All right, 51 degrees. Showers likely today to the tune of 100%. Raining right now. We've had a lot of light overnight rain. High today in the middle 50s. Tonight, rain likely with a slight chance of thunderstorms. Low tonight in the low 50s. Chance of rain still 70% tonight. Tomorrow, a better day. Partly sunny with a high in the middle 60s. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a slight chance of rain after midnight. And the overnight low in the low 40s. And then on Wednesday, partly sunny with a chance of showers. About 20%. And the high in the low 60s. So today, definitely the rainiest of days, but a big chance of rain for the next couple of days as well.
Ron Stuntz in the morning and progressive talk all day. This is 97.9 FM WCHL.
7:19 at WCHL. We talked about Chuck Stone, who passed away over the weekend, but also this weekend, a man whose career spanned more than 80 years in show business, from silent comedies to TV and Broadway theater. Mickey Rooney died on Sunday at his home in North Hollywood. He was 93 years old. Rooney started his career in his parents' vaudeville act while he was still a toddler, and he broke into movies before he was even 10 years old. Rooney won 2 Special Academy Awards for his film achievements. He was married 8 times. Including once the glamorous Ava Gardner, Mickey Rooney, dead at the age of 93, and also stand-up comedian John Panette is dead. The Allegheny County Medical Examiner's Office in Pennsylvania says the portly comic, who always joked about being hungry, died from natural causes at a Pittsburgh hotel on Saturday. He was 50 years old. Panette was perhaps best known as the hapless carjacking victim from the final episode of Seinfeld. And one other note, death over the weekend. If you grew up in North Carolina, particularly if you were anywhere in the Charlotte area or near there, you knew of Arthur Smith. Arthur Smith and the Cracker Jacks. He used to have a regular television show, a local television show coming out of Charlotte. Arthur Smith was a country boy, but at the same time, he was very sophisticated. He wore these great, well-tailored suits and was a very knowledgeable and very accomplished music producer and recorded James Brown, among others. And also, he's the guy responsible for writing Dueling Banjos, a song that was picked up later and featured in the movie Deliverance, and he actually sued and won the suit because he's the one who wrote that song. So Arthur Smith, dead at the, I think, I've forgotten his age, I think he was around 90, something like that, but a real contributor to our culture growing up, if you grew up in North Carolina, and also to show business in general. It is time now for WCHL Championship Sports. A couple of big things to talk about this morning. Let's start with basketball. And Connecticut and Kentucky could not have met in last year's championship game. Few people gave them a chance to be in this year's, but they are. It's a very unlikely championship game tonight. Number 7 seed Connecticut and an 8 seed Kentucky will meet tonight in the NCAA title game. Neither was around in last year's postseason play. UConn, because of a tournament ban over academic issues. Kentucky, because it didn't even make the field. They both have made their presence felt this year on the way to an unlikely title game, and they're both are playing their best here at the end of the season. Connecticut is 31-8. The Huskies have brought defense to the forefront in a 5-game run that has the Huskies within 40 minutes of their 4th national championship. A lot of people following the Connecticut UConn Huskies under the direction of its young head coach, Kevin Ollie, who's done just an outstanding job. And Kentucky has used late-game heroics from Aaron Harrison, one of 5 freshmen starting for the Wildcats, who are now 29-10. They're looking for title number 9 in Kentucky history. They're under the coaching direction of John Calipari. A lot of people around here don't like Kentucky because of that famous one-and-done philosophy, and Art Chansky is going to say more about that coming up on today's Sports Notebook in just a moment here. Who do we pull for tonight in that national championship game, UConn or Kentucky? You decide. Well, it's going to be the battle of the unbeatens in the championship game of the NCAA women's basketball tournament as well. Kayla McBride scored 28 points. Jewel Lloyd added 16 as Notre Dame clobbered Maryland 87-61 to advance to tomorrow night's title game in Nashville. The 37-0 Irish jumped out to a 17-point halftime lead and out-rebounded the Terrapins 50-21. That was really the key to the game. UConn pulled away late in the first half before dominating the remainder of a 75-56 win over Stanford. Brianna Stewart finished with 18 points and 7 rebounds. Kalina Mosqueda Lewis added 15 for the Huskies, who are now 39-0. Isn't that something? The national championship games, men and women, both feature UConn. And wouldn't it be something if UConn was the national champion not only in men's basketball, but in women's basketball as well? Number 30 North Carolina baseball team completed a series win over Boston College on Sunday with a dominating 12-2 win to improve to 18-13 overall, 7-8 in ACC play. With the loss, the Eagles dropped to 10-20 on the season, 2-13 in conference action. Freshman pitcher Zach Gallen turned in a solid performance for Carolina, combining with reliever Riley Hovis to allow just 2 runs off 5 base hits. Michael Russell reached base on 5 occasions and scored 3 times, while Parks Jordan and Landon Lassiter got in on the offensive explosion with 3 runs scored apiece as well. Next up, the Tar Heels, the opener of a 5-game homestand. Carolina will host North Carolina A&T tomorrow at 6 p.m. inside Boschmer Stadium. And, of course, this weekend coming up, a big ACC series against Wake Forest. I'm Ron Stutz, and that's a quick look at WCHL Championship Sports. Now let's get back to basketball.
Art Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Now who do we root for in the national championship game? This is Art Chansky with Monday Sports Notebook. With the odds on favorite to win the NCAA tournament upset in the first game, and the sentimental favorite losing at the buzzer in the second game, an absolutely compelling Final Four hasn't left us with a really good choice now, has it? UConn looked completely dead after scoring only 4 points in the first 11 minutes against favored Florida. But the Huskies and their amazing point guard Shabazz Napier made the Gators look more like footballers trying to play round ball for the rest of the way. Maybe Florida also thought it was over at 16-4 before Napier got the offense and UConn clearly looking like the better team. And how about Aaron Harrison and John Calipari doing it again? For the better Harrison twin, it was the third straight game he made the winning play at the buzzer. And for Calipari, at least a third straight game his team has been behind, figured out how to come back, and then won it at the end. Everyone outside Big Blue Nation wanted Wisconsin to win and veteran coach Bo Ryan to reach his first Final Four. But it came down to the one foul shot the Badgers missed and the NBA tray Harrison made a few seconds later. While Wisconsin had one last shot, by that time the basketball gods were calling Kentucky back to the Final Four for a third time in the last 4 years. Why, I have no earthly idea. The Wildcats are like the Yankees, the Patriots, and the Heat. Other than their considerable legions of fans, few others root for them. Is it fair that Calipari makes his fifth Final Four with three different schools, while the white-haired Wisconsin coach probably lost his best shot to get there? And UConn, I remember when Carolina beat the Huskies in the 1998 East Region Final, again frustrating coach Jim Calhoun, who had been so close but just couldn't seem to win that Elite Eight game. Well, since then, Connecticut has been to four Final Fours under Calhoun and cut down the nets three times. Does it somehow seem fair that his second-year successor, Kevin Ollie, who was coaching in the NBA for 10 years and once wanted to stay there, takes the Huskies in his first season they are eligible to go? I like how Kentucky has improved and Calipari coaches, and I think they will win. But you cannot believe UConn Shabazz until you see him control the game. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if the 7th seed found a way to beat the 8th seed. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
Hey, this is Dan Patrick from my friends at the Chapel Hill Restaurant Group. The group recently opened up a new restaurant. It's called Page Road Grill. Great place to meet friends in the middle of the triangle. They got fantastic southern cuisine. They got 20 beers on tap, plenty of parking, but they also offer a full catering menu. And they can handle any and all of your catering needs. They can do a small office event or cocktail party, or they can go big. They've actually catered events for over 1,000 folks. They can provide lunch and dinner buffets with feature menu selections from their award-winning restaurants. Mez, Squids, 411 West, 518 West, or Spanky's. They can also do boxed breakfasts or lunches or elegant dinner parties. And, of course, they offer an incredible selection of hors d'oeuvres and appetizers that will make any gathering a culinary success. There's only one problem they need to address. They don't go out of state, so they can't deliver to my man cave here. PageRoadGrill.com or click on catering. That's PageRoadGrill.com. PageRoadGrill.com.
This is only a test. This is a test of the emergency alert system on 97.9 FM WCHL. This is only a test. FM WCHL Chapel Hill is a member of the Emergency Alert System. This concludes this test of the Emergency Alert System.
This coming May is no ordinary month at WCHL. We're taking our Performance Auto Mall Village Pride Awards and dedicating them daily to local hometown hero moms. It's the Village Pride Award May Month of Moms. Visit chapelboro.com and tell us why your mom deserves to be a hometown hero. Every mom featured as a Village Pride Award recipient will receive a special treat, and we'll randomly select one person who submitted a nominee to win a VIP D-PAC experience. You have until April 20th to submit your nomination, and there's only 22 days of hometown heroes in the month of May, so share your love for your mom with WCHL and chapelboro.com and get your submission in now. Thanks to our Village Pride Award sponsors, Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, home of the WOW. And happy Mother's Day from all of us at 97.9 FM, 1360 AM, WCHL, and chapelboro.com. Today's Our Local Deal is from Progression Climbing. It's half off, $60 for an introduction to rock climbing package, including a two-week membership, available for $30. Progression Climbing is a state-of-the-art climbing gym for climbers of all levels. Make sure to check out and register for their youth full-day summer camps for ages 5 to 14, and their youth climbing teams, both recreational and competitive, with weekly practices. You can register for these programs at climbprogression.com. This deal is available for a limited time, so buy it now at ourlocaldeal.com.
WCHL's Chapel Hill cover weather, 51 degrees right now. Showers likely, high today about 55. Chance of rain 100%. Tonight, rain likely with a slight chance of thunderstorms. Chance of rain tonight is 70%, so not quite as much. A low tonight in the low 50s. And then tomorrow, a better day, partly sunny with a high in the middle 60s. So, rainy day today.
97.9 FM, WCHL is Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. And streaming live 24/7 at chapelborough.com.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett. The towed Pinger locator has detected signals out in the Indian Ocean as it's being towed by the Ocean Shield, an Australian naval vessel. More on the search for Malaysia Flight 370 from correspondent Seth Doan.
The Ocean Shield is operating in depths of close to 15,000 feet. That is close to the maximum depth that that underwater vehicle could operate in. So officials say if the plane ended up in even deeper water, that could only complicate things, make it more difficult to salvage.
Those signals detected over the weekend.
We have an absolute amazing find if this comes to pass.
And says CBS News transportation safety analyst Mark Rosenkirk.
They are making another pass. They would be able, if they can find the ping again, to be able to triangulate. And that's when they would send down the Bluefin 21. That's the underwater autonomous vehicle that could actually map and actually see if we have a debris field down there.
CBS News Update. I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant. Open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL News, talk, and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
732 at WCHL, 51 degrees. A little bit nippy this morning because of the rain. It is awfully wet out there. We have a 100% chance of rain all day. High today about 55. I'm Ron Stutz. A former professor of journalism at UNC and the co-founder of the National Association of Black Journalists, Charles Sumner Chuck Stone Jr. died on Sunday at the age of 89. And Chuck Stone was an icon in this community and elsewhere. Stone was an influential writer for some of the leading African-American publications like the Washington Afro-American, the Chicago Daily Defender, and the New York Age. He did so many other things as well. We have UNC Journalism School Professor Charlie Tuggle on with us now. And Charlie, this is really the passing of a Chapel Hill legend.
You just can't put into words the influence that he had on our campus. Just his class and censorship that was oversubscribed every semester, students clamoring to get into it, and he was so popular among the students and just a genuinely nice guy to work with.
Well, first of all, let's talk about, we have a lot of things to touch on here, but let's talk about his civil rights work. He was an active civil rights journalist and really contributed a lot in his lifetime to the cause.
He did, and not just civil rights, but human rights. Chuck would, not trying to pat himself on the back, but he would let you know that he was on a first-name basis with Malcolm X, that he covered and marched with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., that he knew Gandhi. Chuck was such an accomplished guy, and yet so humble about it. It was just he was just a reporter. Yes, I did this and this and this, without trying to, he wasn't puffing himself up. He was merely reciting what he had done. And to me, that's Chuck's legacy, is that as accomplished as he was not at all, proud, in a bad sort of way, of all these things that he had done.
Certainly couldn't call him a name dropper, that's for sure. He was certainly a prominent member of the University of North Carolina community, but you touched on this a moment ago. What was Chuck like to work with on a personal basis?
Chuck had a great sense of humor. He always had such a big smile, and, again, it's like you felt like he could have just come from tea with Gandhi, and yet when he sees you, he wants to know how you're doing, how's the family, what's going on? How's that student performing in your class? So Chuck was able to walk with folks in all parts of their lives, and regardless of how far advanced they were, in the view of people in the world, he was Chuck to everybody he came into contact with.
Chuck Stone taught at a number of schools, including Harvard. He also wrote for a number of publications, and his work is well known. And his longest tenure was at the University of North Carolina. And I know that he loved the university, and he also loved Chapel Hill.
Yeah, he was very proud to be a Tar Heel, and he lets you know that. He was also, you know, proud of all the places that he had been and where he had had an influence. And again, it was proud in a humble sort of way. And to me, again, that's the main thing that I remember and will remember about Chuck, is that he was just a gentleman, you know, I started to say Southern gentleman, but, you know, there's the one story about Martin Luther King wanted him to come down and work with him in Atlanta. And Chuck said, well, no, that's the South. And MLK told him, but the South is changing. And Chuck asked him, well, then why are you still marching? So I don't know that you could call Chuck a Southern gentleman, but he was definitely a gentleman.
We're talking with UNC Journalism School professor Charlie Tuggle, his remembrances of Chuck Stone, who passed away over the weekend. You know, he has made so many contributions during his career in the world of journalism and civil rights and so many other things. But the thing that I will remember most about Chuck Stone, and those of us who are lucky enough to live in Chapel Hill and to have run into him every now and then, is the fact that he was just so impeccably dressed. You could always pick him out in a crowd.
Yeah, and it wasn't too difficult to pick him out because he was usually in his T-top with the top down. And, you know, the bright bow tie, the hat that he wore almost all the time that was just very, very recognizable. And sort of, you know, Chuck more or less announced his arrival. by what he drove and how he dressed. But again, he wasn't real showy. He was just who he was. And he was very comfortable being who he was. And I think all of us can learn a lesson from that.
Well, he would wear, you know, things like brightly colored ascot and, as you mentioned, the hat. So it was always easy to find him, but he always looked so good. He was also an avid bike rider and still well-dressed when he was. Someone called in at 7:20 this morning and said she often saw him riding his bike from Elliott Road and Oxford Road over to Whole Foods, which is where I used to run into him every now and then, dressed to the nines, and he always stopped to say hello to everybody.
Yeah, again, that was Chuck. He never met a stranger. He had a pretty good memory back before, you know, Alzheimer's started to do the terrible things that it does to people. And he would remember details about your family, about a class you taught, about a student you had. And Chuck was just such an engaging conversationalist. You know, never mind everything that he had done and accomplished. He just knew how to engage people in conversation. You wanted to be around Chuck.
Well, Chuck Stone just accomplished so many things and meant so much to the university community and the Chapel Hill community in general. And also, in addition to being well-dressed, he always had a smile on his face. I get the feeling that Chuck Stone was a very happy person at heart.
And I think Chuck is still smiling. You know, we have the Chuck Stone Fellowship named in his honor, and we bring diverse candidates, high school kids, you know, who want to come to think about studying journalism at the J School, and that's very appropriately named for Chuck, and so through that and through many other things, his legacy will live on at UNC.
Well, Charlie Tuggle, thank you so much for sharing your memories of Chuck Stone, and I know he made quite an impact on your life and certainly everyone connected with the Journalism School of Carolina.
All of us could hope, Ron, to, you know, the epitaph on our tombstone to be, he was a good man.
Yeah, that's for sure. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Ron.
7:39 at WCHL. We're talking about former professor of journalism at UNC and co-founder of the National Association of Black Journalists, so many other accomplishments. Charles Sumner Chuck Stone, Jr. died on Sunday at the age of 89. His contributions were so many. For example, former UNC Chancellor Holden Thorpe tweeted as soon as he found out, "Thank you, Chuck Stone, for so much.
What an unbelievable source of inspiration and encouragement for us all. I think that pretty much sums up the way everybody feels, everyone who knew him. Stone is survived by his children, Krishna Stone, Allegra Stone, and Charles St. Stone III, grandchild Parade Stone, sisters Madeline Seymour and Irene Gordy. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to the Chuck Stone Citizen of the World Fund at the UNC School of Journalism and Mass Communication Foundation of North Carolina. We just spoke with UNC J School Professor Charlie Tuggle, and coming up next hour, in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll be speaking with former Carolina Journalism School Professor Phil Meyer. 7:40 at WCHL. And coming up next, we'll talk with Rand Northam about what's happening at chapelboro.com. Also, today's commentary on the way from Matt Bailey. He says, let's get rolling on this Ephesus Fordham development plan. That's on the way.
It's a spring tradition like no other. Birdhouse is on parade at the Carolina Inn. Hi, this is Michelle from the Carolina Inn. Spring is the season for birds in the garden, and at the 13th annual Birdhouses on Parade, you'll enjoy seeing one-of-a-kind handcrafted birdhouses and feeders from great names like Silver Pallet Feeder, Nest Dwellings, Old South Birdhouse Company, Wool Spring Birdhouse Company, and many more. It's all on display now through April 20th at the Carolina Inn. Come see what everyone is cooing, tweeting, and warbling about.
This is Jeff Rubish. Did you know your home-based business may not be covered by your homeowner's insurance? Many people have started a home-based business, but there's strict guidelines between homeowners and business insurance policies. Business pursuits within the home or conducted in a detached structure are excluded from the standard homeowner's policy. Don't assume your home-based business is covered for property liability. Call High & Rubish at 913-1144 to schedule a complete review. This is Jeff Rubish. Did you know?
Hi, this is Terry Sturdivant. Have you heard the big news? Sturdivant's Tire and Auto has joined the Tire Pros team, the nation's largest network of independent tire dealers. You'll still get the same friendly customer service and high-quality work from the folks you know and trust. But now, with better pricing, a wider variety of tires, backed by a nationwide warranty and exclusive promotions. So come see the pros at Sturdivant's Tire Pros, located off Highway 54 West in Chapel Hill, just 5 quick minutes from Carrboro. Call us at 942-TIRE or visit 942-TIRE.com.
Worrying about money is driving me crazy. I've got tax forms up to here, bills coming in every day. I haven't even started saving for my kids' college. Don't even talk to me about retirement. I'm overpaying on my mortgage, and it's all too much. Ugh.
Don't worry. Coleman, Huntoon, and Brown can help.
Hi, this is Lida Coleman of Coleman, Huntoon, and Brown. We've been in Chapel Hill since 1975, and our team of CPAs and advisors is ready to help you answer all of life's toughest financial questions. Coleman, Huntoon, and Brown. Our people make the difference.
Good morning. It is 7:43, 51 degrees, kind of a rainy day here. And I don't know about you, but I was surprised when I walked outside this morning and saw the rain coming down. And, you know, it's supposed to do that all day, so may as well go ahead and get used to it, I guess.
Yeah, I was leashing up the dogs this morning and could hear the rain falling as I was heading outside. So I knew it was there and was expecting it as I headed outside. But
leashing up the dogs this morning.
Right, yeah.
I haven't heard it put quite that way, but it sounds like quite a task.
Yeah, I'm the one that's up early in the morning, so I've got to take the dogs out first thing. They don't want to go out. I don't want to go out.
And for those of you who don't know, there are two of them.
Oh, yes.
It's not like 17, you know.
Well, sometimes it feels like there's about that many. One hates the other, and gosh.
Oh, man.
A lot of fun.
Well, yeah, I'm sure it's a barrel of monkeys. What's happening at chapelboro.com today?
Well, part two, as promised, of Jeff Danner's Common Science blog about 3D printing is up, and it's called The Future. A lot of talk about 3D printing right now and all of the capabilities about that. I don't know if anybody listening watches Grey's Anatomy, a medical show, a medical drama.
I do when my wife makes me.
Well, I enjoy it a lot, too. Randy and I both enjoy that one. But they're talking a lot about 3D printing right now and,
really?
And medically. And so it's a big talk. And Jeff Danner's going to talk to you about that on his Common Science column. In our photo galleries, we've got some great photos from the Orange County Expo, which, Ron, you were over there, as well as the WCHL community crew.
Huh.
talking with all of the, you didn't know that, did you?
I didn't know there was a photo gallery. I mean, I saw Susan Murray, but I didn't know it was up, so I haven't seen it.
I was going to say you didn't know you were there.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was aware I was there, but, you know, that's about it.
Well, some great photos from that and lots of great things going on at the University Mall for the Orange County Expo last week. Mm-hmm. Lots of other great things available. Of course, we'll have the full interview with Tuggle, if you just missed that a few moments ago, talking about Chuck Stone and the legacy he left here in Chapel Hill and here in the United States, as well as worldwide. Of course, friends with Gandhi, too.
I know. That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty good.
And knew Martin Luther King Jr. and Malcolm X and, my goodness, and Charlie Tuggle knew Chuck Stone quite well.
That's right. That's right. Six degrees of separation. Yeah, it's everywhere.
That's right. It's nothing to do with Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But we'll have that interview very soon on our website, chapelboro.com. And we've got much, much more. We've still got sports going on. Of course, baseball is underway and still going strong here at the University of North Carolina. And we'll have recaps of all that, of course, too, on our website, chapelboro.com, with instantly live streaming on an app for that.
One quick question for you.
Sure.
UConn and Kentucky playing for the men's national championship tonight. Mm-hmm. Who are you pulling for?
Well, I guess I should pull for the higher seed because that's just the way the tournament's going. But other than that, I would probably have to say Kentucky.
I have to say I'm pulling for UConn because I hate that whole one-and-done philosophy.
Sure, I will pull for UConn, but I think Kentucky is probably going to take it.
I agree with you. That's probably going to happen, but just based on the way they've been playing, it's amazing.
It's Coach Cal versus Coach Cal.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. And here's another thought. UConn is in the women's national championship game tomorrow night.
That's a good point.
Against Notre Dame.
They could sweep it.
Could win both of them. That would be remarkable.
It sure would.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And we have a brand new commentator this morning I'm excited about.
That's right.
His name is Matt Bailey, and he's going to tell you what he thinks right now.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Matt Bailey. There are a lot of reasons I'm excited about the FSS Fordham plan. Clearly, the roads in the area are broken. They're tricky for motorists, unfriendly for pedestrians, and downright dangerous for bicyclists. Clearly, the zoning is broken. Designed for the 1970s suburban sprawl era, property owners really don't have much choice than to gussy up their aging strip malls under the current code. Clearly, the tax base is broken. With so many shopping and dining choices across the county line, there's probably no part of town that bleeds more sales tax revenue than the FSS Fordham area. But it's not what the FSS Fordham plan would fix that most excites me. As a resident of nearby Colony Lake, it's what it would create that really excites me. The plan will add smaller, more pedestrian-friendly streets through what are now parking lots, making FSS Fordham the kind of place our family would like to walk or bike. By allowing property owners to move beyond the outdated strip mall model, the plan will create the kind of place we can hang out with our friends and neighbors, such as a sidewalk cafe or maybe a restaurant with a rooftop patio. The plan will create more retail and dining options near our neighborhood, which will mean we'll drive less to Durham to shop and neat. I sure wouldn't mind seeing more of our property tax revenue stay here in Orange County. The plan could even give me an office that's actually near my home someday. Most of all, I'm excited that the FSS Fordham plan will finally give our side of town a real center for our community, something we desperately lack today. Let's get the ball rolling on the FSS Fordham plan. When we do, FSS Fordham won't just be the name of an intersection, it will be the name of a place. This is Matt Bailey.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The commentators, local people, local issues on 97.9 FM WCHL.
As part of the Dr. Charles Sanders President's Lecture Series, Durham Tech is pleased to present acclaimed science writer Mary Roach in casual conversation with WUNC's Frank Stasio on Sunday, April 13th at 7 p.m. at the Carolina Theater in Durham. Unafraid to tackle the taboo, Roach has written about sex, cadavers, and most recently, the human digestive tract in her lively and candid bestseller, Gulp, Adventures on the Elementary Canal. Tickets are available at carolinatheater.org.
Meet the brokers at Weaver Street Realty. Bill Mullen and Don Bassnight are both native Chapel Hillians who have seen our town through a half century of change. Louise Barnum moves easily from muddy boots to city shoes in her pursuit to meet her clients' needs. Jay Parker is the broker in charge, having developed a loyal client base over 30 years. Gary Phillips and Clayton Nell are the oldest and youngest members of the team, combining experience and intelligence for a fresh perspective. And Crystal Fisher is the savvy specialist for first home buyers. Check them all out at weaverstreetrealty.com.
Time now for traffic and weather together on WCHL. And this traffic report is brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. You know, Cruisers serves fresh brewed coffee fast, guaranteed to taste great. Fuel up this morning at Cruisers on your way to wherever you're going. Cruisers, good to go. Now with your morning traffic on WCHL, here we go, is Rand Northam.
Well, still got some wet roads out there this morning, Ron, but really no problems being reported all that much. We do see the usual suspect right around the Durham Freeway area, seeing some slight slowdowns. Right around the 540 area, seeing some slight slowdowns there. That's still a usual suspect, of course. I-40 moving smoothly. Otherwise, though, a little bit of a slowdown on the Durham Freeway northbound just as you get onto it off of I-40, and otherwise things looking good. I-40, 15501, NC-54, MLK, Estes Drive, Franklin Street, not reporting any additional delays, no accidents out there. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you do that safely.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a special treat coming up for you. Wayne Pond is not with us today. That's not the treat. But Rand Northam is going to do the word of the day.
I'm
going to
go do some jumping jacks in the corner. Get ready for it.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
Yeah. So hang on just a minute. That's coming up. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather brought to you by Crown Honda of South Point, home of Dream Service, where your scheduled service and maintenance happen while you sleep. Dream Service and Crown Honda of South Point, located just a minute off 540 at the 751 exit. 51 degrees and wet. We've had some slow, steady rain pretty much during the overnight hours, and it's still coming down. Showers likely all day. 100% chance of it. High today about 55, so not a lot of change, not a lot of variation in the temperature. Tonight, rain likely, 70% chance. Slight chance of thunderstorms, only slight. Overnight low in the low 50s. And tomorrow, a much better day and a little warmer as well. High tomorrow about 65 degrees and at least partly sunny skies. 751 at WCHL. Ron Stutz here, along with Rand Northam, substituting for Wayne Pond. I don't know how anyone can substitute for Wayne Pond, but Rand's going to give it his best shot.
I'm going to try my best.
Yeah?
Well, we've got something special for you on this Monday. Mm-hmm. Monday, Monday. I know we've already been to that song.
Can't trust that day. Yeah.
But a special little treat for you this Monday.
Okay.
Would you say I have a plethora of piñatas?
A what?
A plethora.
Oh, yes. You have a plethora.
Jefe, what is a plethora?
Why, guapo?
Well, you told me I have a plethora. And I just would like to know if you know what a plethora is. I would not like to think that a person would tell someone he has a plethora and find out that that person has no idea what it means to have a plethora.
Sounds like a body part.
Well, we don't want to make El Guapo mad this morning, so it's best that we all know what a plethora is.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
So today's word of the day is plethora, P-L-E-T-H-O-R-A, uh-huh. Plethora. It does not mean a great amount of something,
mm-hmm.
but it does mean an amount in excess of what is necessary.
And overabundance.
There you go. Just remember, not a great amount of something. Don't make El Guapo mad. Plethora. P-L-E-T-H-O-R-A.
It's like cornucopia. It's like the bounty is just in excess.
In excess of what is necessary.
Has nothing to do with the Australian rock and roll group either.
That's true. Exactly. Yep.
I love it. Plethora.
Plethora.
That is the word of the day on WCHL with Rand Northam. Thank you for the excess theatrics this
and
morning.
And if anybody didn't know, that is from the Three Amigos, of course, which yeah. I do love that movie. That's a good one. Yeah. Steve Martin, Martin Short, and who's the third one? Vegas Vacation, what's his name?
Oh, Chevy Chase.
Chevy Chase, thank you very much.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, thanks a bunch.
Thank you.
Next hour, you'll have an opportunity to call in and tell me the word of the day, spell it, define it, if you can do all that. Well, then we'll give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers because that's how we roll. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
7:54. Monday morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Ron Stutz along with Lauren Stafford. Time now for the WCHL Clean Joke of the Day.
Good morning, Ron. How are you?
I'm all right if I can learn how to talk.
That's okay. It's a tricky one. Those four letters, they're hard.
I need another cup of coffee.
It's
here,
a Monday. It's a Monday. You're allowed to mess up a couple things on a Monday morning.
I know, but I've messed up more than my quota already.
How was your weekend?
Not bad. It was way too short.
Right.
As you might imagine.
I agree.
But yeah, otherwise okay.
Good. Very okay. good. Well, it's good to see you again.
Yeah. Well, you too.
Start of the week.
I hope you're going to make me laugh today because, you know, I haven't laughed in so long.
I know.
It's
I know.
Been
it's
days.
Few and far between, but let's see. Let's see if I can help that out. This one's a little bit longer than the short and sweet one on Friday. All right. A man was driving down the road with 20 penguins in the back seat.
20 penguins That's in right. the back seat. Okay.
The police stop him and say that he can't drive around with the penguins in the car. Uh-huh. He should take them to the zoo.
Right.
The man agrees and he drives off. The very next day, the same man is driving down the road with 20 penguins in the back seat. Uh-huh. And again, he's stopped by the same police officer who says, "Hey, I thought I told you to take those to the zoo." The man replies, "I did. Today I'm taking them to the movies."
I knew that was coming. And you know,
I love this one. It made me laugh.
They got all dressed up in their black and white tuxedos and everything, too. So, hey.
That's right.
Well-behaved and well-dressed animals.
Exactly.
Hey, thanks a lot.
You're very welcome.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights the great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
The Orange County Department of Social Services provides protection for vulnerable children and adults, economic support for low-income individuals and families in crisis, and also intervention services to all at-risk people living here in Orange County. The agency serves as the access point for most state and federal human services programs. Sharon Hinton is Community Services Director for the department. She works hard every day, making life better for other people. That's why Sharon Hinton is today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
My goodness, I've been with the department for about 8 years, and I absolutely love it. No 2 days are the same. I enjoy helping individuals attain whatever services and help that they may need.
You wake up in the morning and you look forward to getting to work.
I absolutely do. Yeah. Again, no 2 days are the same. People come in from the community with a variety of issues and services, gaps in services that they may need, and it's a pleasure to help to provide them with those services.
Why did you decide to get into that kind of work? I mean, I know it's meaningful to you. You go to work, you know that you can make a difference in people's lives. Why is this so important to you?
It's important to me because not only is it's my calling, I guess, if you will, for my career, but it's also something personal for me. Mm-hmm. It's an opportunity for me to give back, to help those that are less fortunate, and to also just to make a difference in someone's life.
Sharon, thank you for being where you are and doing what you do. And thanks for coming by to tell us about the Orange County Department of Social Services. I know it's a really busy agency, and you're a big part of it.
It really is, and I enjoy it. I thank you so much for inviting me today.
If you'd like to find out more about services provided by the Orange County Department of Social Services, simply go to the Orange County website. Sharon Hinton works hard with the Orange County Department of Social Services, looks forward to going to work every day, and gets a real kick out of her job because she makes life easier for other people. Sharon Hinton is today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
Join the celebration on Saturday, April 12th for the UNC Science Expo, a signature event for the North Carolina Science Festival. Enjoy free hands-on science activities for the whole family. The fun begins with a sustainability center and solar stage. Sponsored by Chapel Hill Parks and Recreation. Explore demonstrations and displays. Tour UNC research labs. And check out the small science play area just for kids. Live entertainment and food trucks, too. It all takes place on Cameron Avenue on the UNC campus. The UNC Science Expo. For more information, visit moreheadplanetarium.org.
Today's Our Local Deal is from Progression Climbing. It's half off. $60 for an introduction to rock climbing package, including a 2-week membership, available now for $30. Progression Climbing is a state-of-the-art climbing gym for climbers of all levels. Make sure to check out and register for their youth full-day summer camps for ages 5 to 14 and their youth climbing teams, both recreational and competitive, with weekly practices. You can register for these programs at climbprogression.com. This deal is available for a limited time, so buy it now at ourlocaldeal.com.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather, brought to you by Dickie's Barbecue Pit in Durham next to New Hope Commons. Eat in, call ahead for takeout, order in advance, or arrange for catering at dickies.com. It is 51 degrees, wet this morning, and a lot of steady rain, kind of the slow variety, the slow soaking variety. Showers all day, 100% chance of it. High today about 55. Tonight, 70% chance of more rain with a low in the low 50s. Tomorrow, partly sunny with a high in the middle 60s.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
It's 8 o'clock.
Carolina baseball.
Russell throws to second base, and it's Omaha for Carolina.
WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
More pings in the Indian Ocean.
The most promising lead we have had.
Oscar Pistorius.